Talk Radio.
Angela, I'm not available right now. Please leave your name, telephone number, and a brief message, and I'll return your call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Angela, can you hear me now?
Hello? Hello? Connie, can you hear me? Connie, are you there?
Hello, Angela?
Hi, Connie. Can you hear me now?
Hi, Angela. I'm so excited. I don't know what we did, but I think we fixed it. So if
That's wonderful.
So if our listeners will just be patient with us, we are going to get this technical part taken care of. But I am just so excited, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And Angela, thank you again for your patience.
Of course.
I'm really excited. I did do an introduction about the program. I'm going to do just a really quick one in case it did not get on the air. But welcome to Adoption Focus. Adoption Focus is Adoption Associates Radiocast, all about adoption. I'm Connie Going, and I'm an Adoption Associates consultant, and I'm excited to be part of such a wonderful weekly show that I will share with you inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking adoption stories. Adoption Associates is a Michigan-licensed adoption agency, which has been practicing since 1990 and has had over 5,000 adoptive placements. They are time-tested in both domestic and international adoption and have offices in Jenison, Farmington Hills, Lansing, and the Saginaw areas. Adoption Associates is a hands-on adoption agency whose pledge is to help each child and parent through the adoption process. Adoptive Associates utilizes the most up-to-date software, innovative software, to support their passion for adoption. So I'm going to say again, I'd like to thank Angela and just welcome her. And I wanted her to share a little bit about her story because truly, Angela, you have been through so much. You and your husband, Jim, are now wonderful, happy adoptive parents of, how old is your little one?
She's 17 months old this week.
Oh, such a fun age. But a little bit about your journey because part of your story, to me, it really stood out as bringing faith. You had so much faith when I spoke to you.
We did. Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't an easy road. And the one thing I like to tell anyone who's considering adoption is there is no normal adoption story. It's a different situation for every single person. Their journey is different. But I can guarantee you at the end of the journey, you will find the child that is supposed to be yours. And that's what we kept holding on to was that, and that God had a plan and he was going to connect us with the child that was eventually supposed to be ours. And now looking back, I can tell you that's definitely what happened. We have the most amazing daughter that, I mean, people even say she looks like us, which is really funny. But, we started our process back in 2009. We met and we got married in 2007, and I was in my later 30s by that point, and we knew that we wanted children, so we started trying right away. And like, you know, most couples who end up going down the adoption path, we went through a lot of testing and trials and, you know, am I pregnant this month, and a lot of medication and different things to try to make it happen, and it wasn't going to happen. And so we started investigating to figure out what our next step was going to be because we both just knew we wanted to be parents more than anything. And so we decided to, you know, start investigating adoption. And I can tell you, we went into it with so many just preconceived notions. And as we got through the education of it, it was just the education is very enlightening. It's no longer a taboo subject. Like it was many, many years ago. And so we learned a whole lot. I will say, and the agency told us, and I thought they were silly at the time, but in hindsight, I can totally agree because they warned us to just quit watching Lifetime television because you're going to see all of those crazy stories, right? And there's a lot that goes into it, and it's an emotional roller coaster from day one. So, you know, you have to prepare yourself for that. So we went through everything, got our home study all done, all of our background checks approved, and we were December of 2009 is when we officially went on the list. And, you know, you hit that list and you're just like, okay, I'm here. This is it. We're going to get a baby. And Angela,
let me ask you, how long was that time period from the time you went to Adoption Associates and you were ready to go on the list?
So I think we went to our first meeting with them in March or April of that year. Now, we took some time to decide, and it could have gone quicker than that. But, you know,
okay.
We really we wanted to investigate, make sure we were working with the right agency. We, you know, checked around, talked to other people to get references. And so, I mean, it took us close to 9 months before we were on the approved list. But it can certainly be done faster. And
right.
A lot of it depends on the parents. You know, do you go get your background check done? Do you get your fingerprints done? All that kind of stuff. There's a lot you have to do as well to help move that along. So
absolutely.
You weren't typical in that.
I respect that you took the time to, as you were. One of the things that really impressed me was that you started a blog when you began your journey. You were ready to announce it. And you were seeking out education and support systems, which in adoption is so important. And you put your heart out there and you shared your story as it was happening.
Yeah. It was pretty therapeutic for us because there are a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, 1 minute the agency is calling you and saying, you know, well, we've got a mom looking at your profile. And then the next minute they're like, you know, she picked somebody else. And so you're up and you're down, and it's a long, long roller coaster ride. We did have a couple of links with birth moms that didn't end up working out for us. And those are probably the hardest thing in the world to go through because you really, in those cases, we were linked with the actual birth moms while they were pregnant. We had communication with them. We formed a friendship with them. They were part of our family at that point because we were going to have open adoptions with them. And so
Tell me, we would talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're awesome. You could do this without me. I want to know how you chose open adoption. Why?
Well, I can tell you at first, when we went to the first meeting and they started talking about it, I was like, nope, I don't want open adoption, partly because I had seen all those Lifetime movies, right? And you just have this horrible image of what's going to happen. But as we went through the process and learned more about it, and I actually have since made friends totally outside, it's random, but who were birth moms or who were adoptive parents. And when you start seeing the whole thing unfold, you know, for me, it the realization was that as long as everybody respects the roles, that the more people that love that child, the better. And
absolutely.
The ability for the child to be able to ask those questions, because they're going to have them. So when they get old enough to question, you know, why didn't my mom and dad keep me? They can get answers to that. Or, you know, why do I have red hair and you don't? Where did that come from? You know,
understand, Angela. That's what, you know, I think Adoption Nation is one of the reasons and one of the hopes that we, with this show and having you share your story, is helping other families, helping birth mothers, understand that it doesn't have to be, I mean, it can be what you want, but how healthy open adoption is.
Yes, it very much can be. Again, as long as everybody respects the roles, you know, I think it is definitely good for everybody. And I think it allows the child to, you know, teenagers are really tough on kids, isn't it? And so that's when these questions tend to come up. And it gives them a sense of understanding and a sense of acceptance as to why this occurred, and that can really help their self-esteem a lot. So, you know, and they've got additional support, and my gosh, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. It's so true. And I think for that, as a parent, you would do anything for your child. And with that, giving them part of who they are genetically, giving them part of who they are, just where they come from. They don't have missing pieces, and it's just so healthy. It can be
absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about your first birth mother, and because that was just a very hard time for you guys.
Yeah, that one was really difficult. She was actually in a different state, and my background is marketing. So when we started this adoption process, I'm like, I'm going to get our name out there. People are going to find us. So we did. We started the blog, Facebook page. We had postcards printed up and just handed them out everywhere with links to our Facebook page and how to find us and contact us. And so this lady actually came to us from out of state, and she was an acquaintance of a family member. And so unfortunately, we weren't able to work with adoption assistants really in this case because she was in a state that they don't practice. So that made it a little challenging in itself because we were kind of trying to feel our way through it on our own. But, you know, we talked on the phone and we started texting and talking frequently. I flew down several times to meet her and visit her and get to know her and try to kind of form this relationship. And so we thought things were going along great. We were working with an agency and an attorney down there, and we were helping her financially with some things that she needed. And we had everything planned. You know, the nursery was all set up, and we were ready to go. And so it came to her due date, and she went past. And, she went to see her doctor, and she'd keep in touch with me and how she was feeling and what they were saying. And then they finally said, you know, she contacted me and said, okay, I've got a date. They're going to induce. And so we said, awesome. So we jumped in the car and drove down there because we wanted to be there. And she wanted us there. You know, this is a conversation we had all along. And so we get down there with all this stuff loaded in our vehicle and car seats and baby stuff. And my family comes in to be there to help support us during this time. And, and our attorney contacted us today that she was supposed to be induced and let us know that she had spoken with the hospital and apparently this birth mom had delivered 10 days earlier and had indicated to the hospital that she was going to keep the child. We still have a lot of questions about that situation, but it was that was very, very tough for us. To be out of state. We had driven down there. We had to drive back with all this baby stuff in our car and to a nursery that was set up for nothing. But we prayed a lot. And I will say my parents were there, and obviously they wanted to comfort us. But afterwards, my mom commented that, you know, she noticed how my husband and I kept going to each other, and there were times where he was weak and I was there for him and vice versa. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. But, you know, she said that she knew then how strong our marriage was because we were relying on each other and our faith to get through that difficult time.
It had to happen. You guys had to rely on each other. And, you know, it's such a huge loss. And to me, I compare it to, the loss of a child in the birthing process.
Right.
Because you were ready to take your child home. And just because that child was not biologically yours, you were in labor. And that was to be your day. So, you know, you can't take away from how impactful that loss is on your life.
It was very tough.
So it made you guys come closer together. You saw strengths in each other.
We did, and it made us a little leery. You know, we were very cautious moving forward from that, obviously, and the agency rallied around us. I mean, I can't say enough about how awesome they were for us during this time because, obviously, you know, we were gun-shy at that point. But they, you know, continued to work with us. We drove home with this carload of baby stuff and found some way to unpack, and I couldn't open the nursery door for a very long time. So we just left the room set up and we just left the door shut. And so then they contacted us again in, oh gosh, June or July of that year. So this is still 2013.
Right.
And they had a birth mom in the state of Michigan here who was expecting, and she had picked us. And it was cute because our caseworker was like, you know, we had some really real conversation with her and just let her know, you know, what you guys had been through and that, you know, we don't really want to make the call unless she's 110% sure. And so they were doing everything they could to protect us. And we met this young girl, and she almost became like a little sister to me because we bonded quite quickly, and we met her mom, and you know, we're sharing family recipes, and just, I mean, it was just, we were very close, and we had a lot of conversation about her situation, and she really wanted us to understand why she was doing this, and it had nothing to do with the fact that she did not want this child and that she did not love this child,
right.
But you know, the extenuating circumstances just were not good for her to be able to do it at this time. And she felt a lot of guilt about that, and I could tell, and her and I talked about it a lot. And but we remained cautiously optimistic, you know, that this was going to go through.
Uh-huh.
And we opened the nursery door again and started doing some work on the nursery. And she had us come to, we went to doctor's appointments with her and ultrasounds and heard the heartbeat and, you know, brought home ultrasound pictures. And so we were planning, you know, how often we would get together because she was in the same state. You know, we wanted to get together more frequently. And like I said, we had met her mom and the family, and they were just, they were good people. And so we were just thrilled at the possibility of kind of, you know, being able to be extended family with them. And we knew how wonderful it was going to be. We knew it was a little girl for our daughter, to have them as her extended family, that they would always love her and support her, and how badly they really wanted to be part of her life, despite what was going on.
So you had everything planned out, Anthony. You had everything planned out.
Yeah.
And you had this great connection with extended family. And
yeah.
At what month did she come, did she select you? What month of her pregnancy was she in?
She was 6 months along.
Okay.
So we still had a few months. And we spent quite a bit of time together. Frequent, you know, to her doctor's appointments and all of that. And so we, you know, everybody was on the same page. Her mom, her family were all very supportive of the decision. They met us. They liked us. You know, that was important to her. My husband actually reminded her of her father who had passed away. And so that was one of the reasons she had picked us in the first place, was when she saw his picture, it reminded her of her dad. And so there was a lot of connections with this family and with this group. And needless to say, we were elated and, you know, starting to get excited again and get back on this rush. And we just, although we did caution our friends and family, you know, we tried to keep reality checks with them. Anything can happen. We're not having baby showers until after the baby is born and comes home with us, you know, because everybody wanted to buy us gifts. And having gone through one that didn't work out, even though we thought it was going to, we really were trying to be real about the possibility that this may not happen regardless of our connection with her. And, we prayed a lot about the situation and that whatever God's will was going to be done. And we knew we just had to find a way to be okay with it no matter what that was. And we also used this as a time to do a lot of education to other people, and we did that on our blog, and we talked a lot about some adoption etiquette, which people don't really understand what that means. But there's just some things you really shouldn't say to an adoptive parent or to birth mom.
What were some of the things? And then we're going to get back on. But what are some of the things that should not be said to an adoptive parent, in your opinion?
Well, you should never say to an adoptive parent, do you have any real kids?
Yeah.
Do you have any kids of your own?
Yes.
This one right here, this is, you know, there. I don't know what you mean by that. You know, you don't ever want to say to them or, you know, to the child, I can't imagine somebody giving up their kid. Why didn't their parent want them? You know, that's
right.
Not, there's typically a lot that goes in behind the scenes, and it's not a very quick or easy decision. And it can also be very hurtful for a child to hear things like that. You know,
absolutely.
So people have to be very cautious about that. And then, of course, we had numerous amounts of advice about what we were doing wrong and why we weren't conceiving on our own. So
it's amazing. And I think that I would love to have an episode to where we had a couple callers call in and we had this discussion, some adoptive parents call in. So maybe we'll return to that because I think we could really help educate just the world about, you know, what really, you know, how to be a little more sensitive.
Yes, we learned a whole lot, for sure. And we're amazed by things that were said to us. But anyway, so back to our second birth mom there.
Mm-hmm.
We you know, she had her birth plan. We knew when she was due, and we were all excited and ready to go. And a couple weeks early, she called us. I was actually on my way home on a Friday evening, and she said, so, you know, do you want to meet your daughter tonight? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And she said, well, you know, it's nothing bad. Don't freak out or anything, but I'm leaking fluid. And so they want to go ahead and, you know, they're going to do a cesarean tonight. How quick can you guys get here? And she's several hours away from us. So I race home and I tell Jim, I'm like, this is the call. Like, this is it. You know, you don't have the emergency bag packed yet like you normally would. So we're throwing stuff in the car and racing. We won't talk about how fast we went because we wanted to be sure and get there in time.
Absolutely.
But so we get to the hospital and we're in the waiting room with her family and, you know, we're all talking and excited and all this. And they do the cesarean. They, you know, everybody gets settled in the room and she says it's okay for us to come in. And her mom was there and pulled us aside and just said, you know, she's very delicate right now. Please, you know, just be aware of that. And so we were very cautious to try and not just come in and make over the baby. You know, we knew very much that this was really, really, really hard on her. And so we went to her first when we went in the room and we hugged her and asked how she was doing and had conversation with her for, you know, a little bit before she then said, you know, here she is. Do you want to see her? Do you want to hold her? And so we did, and we oohed and aahed, and we took some pictures of us with the baby, of all of us with the baby. You know, we did all of that kind of stuff that you would normally do. And then it was getting pretty late. And so we said, you know, I'm sure you want some rest. We've got a hotel in the area, and you know, we'll come see you guys tomorrow. But if you need anything, you know how to get in touch with us, that type of thing. And so the next morning we went, and she had mentioned that she had a craving for the candy, the hot tamales. So we went and bought a big bag of those and, you know, just some fun stuff to take. And we got to the hospital, and the nurse just said, I'm sorry, she doesn't want to see you.
Wow.
And we were a little nervous, you know, a little concerned, and the nurse was wonderful. She had dealt with adoptions before, and, you know, she sat us down and said, you know, I understand how you're feeling, and, you know, it's my job, obviously, to protect my patient. This can be a really tough time for them, so just give her some space, you know. She said, I've seen this happen, and at the end, I've seen him go through, and I've also seen him not go through, so you do need to brace yourself, but she does need some space. And so we were fine with that. We went back to our hotel. We tried to occupy our minds, but it didn't go very well. Ultimately, we got to see the baby one more time the following day. And then on Monday when she was discharged, our caseworker was with her at that time and called us and said, you know, she's sorry. She's decided she's taking the baby home. And we were devastated. We were just, we both just, you know, completely broke down. We just did not even know what to do. We weren't sure where we were at that point. We were lost. And
We had already had our vehicle loaded because we knew we were checking out of the hotel today, that day, no matter what. And we drove back to our hometown and drove directly to our church. And I get choked up again. But we needed to have conversation. You know, mm-hmm. we needed to talk with our pastor. We went through that horrible spiral effect, but I think everybody does. You know, what's wrong with us? Why aren't we getting picked? Why does this keep happening? Why don't we get to be parents? You know, there was a lot of things that run through our mind, and you don't mean to think bad things that you do in situations like that. You know, you think there's tons of people out there having kids every day who don't love them, who don't deserve them, and yet we can't. And there was a lot of struggle, and we spent a lot of time with our pastor that day and many days thereafter to get ourselves through it and shut the nursery door again. And we talked a lot about the nursery, and I told my husband, I can't take it down, because that to me says we're giving up hope, and I'm not willing to give up hope yet. I still believe God intends for us to be parents. We just haven't connected with the right child. But I did also fully believe that we went through the things that we went through for a reason, and that there were things that we needed to learn, that our family and our friends needed to learn, in order for the perfect scenario to come into place.
Your faith your faith is so strong, and your husband's faith, that it is to me, when I got the privilege of talking to you and hearing your story, and I thought, you know, how would someone get through this? And how would they still know that they are meant to be parents? And it was just this deep faith that I saw, and your ability to not give up. Did you know, you just knew in your heart that your child was out there?
I did. I knew I was always meant to be a mom, and I knew it was going to happen sometime, and for whatever reason, those were not the right situations. When you go to adopt, you have to fill out a checklist, and we struggled a lot over this, because you have to say, you know, what ethnicities you're willing to consider, and drug use and alcohol use and mental illness histories, and there's all these things you have to go through, and we both really struggled with that, because it felt like we're picking our baby, and you know, you get what God gives you when you do it naturally.
Right.
So you feel like you're going through this selection process. And so we had made our choices. And after this last one, we sat and we talked about it. And I said, you know, maybe we need to give up control and quit trying to control the child that we're going to get. We need to give it to God and just say, whatever baby you intend to be ours, regardless of its health history or its ethnicity or whatever, that's the child we're going to raise. So we had talked with our agency about removing restrictions and just opening it up, because no matter what we put on that list, we were going to get whatever child God wanted us to have. So
And Angela, I see that with a lot of adopted families. In the process, you learn to know yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you learn to know that sometimes by giving up the control, because there really is not a lot of control in this process.
No, there's not.
It's the ultimate act of faith. And we've got about 10 minutes left, so I want to hear about your daughter and the Safe Delivery Act.
Yes.
That's the Michigan Safe Delivery of Newborns Act. So tell us a little bit about that, because we so appreciate you sharing the hard times, but I want to end on where you're at today and how that happened.
Yeah. So we made this great decision that we were gonna change our list and our criteria, if you will. And it was time for us to renew our home study, because you have to do that every single year. And so our caseworker was supposed to be at our house on that particular morning. I think we were meeting her at 9. Or 9:30 for her to do, because they have to come visit your home and, you know, make sure you haven't moved 8 million dogs in or something crazy like that. So she comes, and we're waiting, and she's sitting in the driveway, and she hasn't come in, and we're like, well, you know, she frequently gets calls from birth moms, and so we don't worry if she's not exactly right on time. And so she finally comes up to the door, and she's like, I'm so sorry I'm late, and, you know, I know you guys have been waiting. And we're like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And she's like, well, it might be for a good reason. And we're like, what? You know, trying not to jump up and down. And she said, so I just got off the phone with a caseworker at a hospital, and there was a child born this morning, and the upon delivery, actually when the mom got to the hospital, the birth mom, but also upon delivery, she affirmed that it was her intent to place the child for adoption, that she wanted to do it under the Safe Delivery Act, which means she does not have to give any information whatsoever and no questions will be asked. And it's a fabulous law, and I wish more people knew about it because it would certainly prevent a lot of really bad stories that you hear about children. And so she said that's what she wanted to do, and so the caseworker at the hospital, the social worker, had been calling agencies and fortunately had connected with ours. And so in most cases, you're selected by a birth mom, but in the case of a safe delivery or what they also call a gift baby, where a mom doesn't want to make a choice, the agency then picks whoever's been on the list the longest that matches the criteria. And so our caseworker said, I'm 99.9% sure that it's you guys, but I have to wait till I can get in touch with my director for confirmation. And she's like, I've left her like 18 messages this morning, but she's in a meeting and blah, blah, blah. She's like, so we're just going to sit down and we're going to start the update to homestead because we're going to have that regardless. So here we're all trying to get through this, and we're just nervous, and every time the phone rings, we're jumping, and every time her text goes off, we're jumping, and she's getting more and more information from the hospital, and we found out it was a baby girl and that she was completely healthy and that there was, you know, no sign of drug use at the time of birth in the mom or the child, and we're getting all this just exciting news, and we're trying really, really, really hard to stay calm. And finally her director calls and said, yes, it is, they are the ones on the list. It is their child if they want it. And we all just started crying. I mean, I just can't even describe that moment.
And, so all this time, Angela, all this time you had prepared.
Yeah.
To go and pick up your child. And when you were least expecting it.
Yeah, for sure.
There was your child.
Yeah. There was our amazing daughter. So, yeah, that was 10 o'clock that morning. I'm sorry.
Tell us a little bit about your daughter.
Well, we got to the hospital about 3:30 that afternoon, and they brought her into the room, and all of the nurses on the floor brought her, and there were just cameras going off everywhere. Everybody was crying. I mean, it was just a very emotional afternoon, and there was this perfect, beautiful little girl just laying there with the biggest eyes, wide open, just looking right at us, and we couldn't get her out of that little bassinet fast enough, and we spent the entire 2 days with her. We were able to get the room at the hospital. I did not leave that room at all. My husband had to go out and get food. He's like, you want to go eat? And I'm like, no, I don't leave this room until she's leaving with us. Like, she can't come out of my sight. And so, yeah, we brought her home 2 days later, and we've known her since the day she was born. She's known us since the day she was born. There's not a single person who won't tell you that she looks just like my husband, and so much like his mom when she was a baby. It's amazing. She is precocious, and she is independent, and she's amazing. She's beautiful and smart, and she's the funniest person she knows. She cracks herself up all the time. as I said at the beginning, she just turned 17 months old. So every day is a new adventure with her at this point, and she's learning. And just, there are no words to describe how much we love that little girl and how honored we are to be her parents.
And how blessed you are, how incredibly blessed you are. And
yes.
I'm honored that you shared and are able to be here and share your story, because helping others know that there is hope and having faith is so important.
It is. And you will get the child that's meant to be yours. We have no doubt about that now.
And I think if you had to give a message before we wrap up, if you had to give a message that would be to everyone out there, what would that message be?
It would just be have faith and trust in God's plan. And that's been my mantra for my whole life, but it really, really came to fruition in this situation. But have faith. You will get connected with a baby that is meant to be your child when it's supposed to happen. And in the meantime, just pay attention and learn from the lessons. So there's a lot to be learned during this process, too.
Yes. And really, I kind of want to end that piece there, because I want listeners to think about that, to hold on to that. In the world of adoption, like I said, it really is the strongest walk in faith I personally have ever experienced as an adoptive mom, and having the privilege to working with families like you. In agencies like Adoption Associates, I really want to share with everyone out there that they are an agency who truly cares, and our tagline is "We Care." For those of you who don't know, their website is www.adoptionassociates.net. The call-in number is 1-800-677-2367. And the Safe Delivery Act, which I feel is so important for really everyone to understand in Michigan, the number for that is 866-733-7733, and spread the word and spread the message. And Angela, thank you so much for being our guest and sharing your story. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my honor to be involved.
Thank you. Take care now. See everybody next week at 11 o'clock. Thank you so much.